Today is Sunday, February 7th, 2021, and this...
We finally made it to Las Vegas.
Ooh, Vegas!
And I'm exhausted. I've got to do a whole nother day of this tomorrow.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 772.
Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great.
Ready for the big game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it. I have no interest in... I don't have any money on it. I don't have any rooting interest. But I'll probably watch it for lack of anything else to watch. We'll see. Is the Puppy Bowl doing a thing this year? Okay, cool. That's always entertaining.
Yes.
Because puppies are fun.
I like puppies.
All right. So... let's talk. We've got a lot of stuff to get caught up on because we took last week off. So let's start by reminding everyone that this show is listener supported by our amazing patrons. They are great folks. We have a few new ones this week, including Liz Mooney, Nick Moore, and Steve Barksy. Thank you all very much. And thank you to all of our existing long-term patrons as well. We've got a bunch of people receiving pins the last couple days. Those finally got in the hands of our beloved patrons, so that's good. And we did a live stream last night, which was a blast.
It was fun.
That was, we usually they're like, you know,
45 minutes or so.
Yeah, this one was an hour and a half almost. It was a good time. So they seem to be like, each one lately has gotten more and more entertaining and fun, and we'll be doing another one in probably early to mid-March. So if you have not previously participated in one of our live streams, keep an eye out for that announcement through Patreon. And if you have, surely you'll want to come back for more. We covered a lot of ground last night, and it took us in many, many directions we did not expect to go, as usually will happen. We covered Peppermill Mystery Nuts.
Yes.
We covered... you coined the phrase aggressive brocore, which I'll be using frequently, I suspect. And we also had some science experiments. Well, one science experiment.
Yeah.
We made ice outside on our deck in -9 degree weather and checked on the status of that. And it took much longer than I would have expected. But it was fun for everybody involved watching the progress of that ice freeze. It's the Minnesota version of watching paint dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Go outside later and throw a cup of water up in the air and see if it freezes on the way down?
Yeah. No, I think I'm good for science experiments for a while.
Okay.
If you'd like to get involved in all of this fun activity, visit us at patreon.com/500 for details. You can support us either on a monthly basis, or if you'd prefer to do it on an annual basis, that is now an option as well. Get in on the fun. I've also been thoroughly enjoying the new Friday flashback segments that I've been doing for the last month, pulling out old podcast clips and highlighting fun things from our history on this show. And the most recent one was the Parabounce saga, which was a good time. So anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to get caught up on this week. So let's do that with, let's start with one of the more unusual news stories in recent history. On Monday night, a woman was arrested and charged with theft of a fire protection device after allegedly knocking out power throughout Circa. So, like, casino, hotel, I think the whole shebang from what it sounded like. Fox 5 News in Las Vegas reports that a naked, that's the added twist, a naked 27-year-old woman entered and locked herself in a secure, although I question that, secure, locked herself in a fire control room and damaged switches that control power to slot machines, table games, elevators, and backup generators.
Oh, I hope nobody was stuck in an elevator.
Yeah, I guess it was off for a couple hours.
Oh.
They got it restored. Earlier in the day, she had been trespassed for wandering around the hotel floors naked. She was staying there, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And was no longer welcome. And she had been... You know, like, part of me is like, wants to laugh at this, and it's, you know, there's an amusing aspect to it, but
she's got some issues.
She's got probably some mental issues, and that's sad.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's the case. You know, it's such unusual behavior. You have to, there's something going on there. It's not clear how she accessed the secure fire control room. I'm thinking Circa might want to add some additional locks to the door or lock the one that that controls it. Not good. And now, like, there's been, people have been having a lot of fun with this on the Facebook group, of course. You know, there's a lot of like, okay, well, now people know that
this is where the power's at.
This is where, yeah, you can zap the entire casino by breaking into this room, and that's not necessarily good for security. So maybe you want to move those backup generators. I don't know.
We talked about this briefly in the chat last night, and I questioned where she was residing.
Oh, yeah. It said that...
I was like, is she from Nye County? Because this sounds like...
Apparently she produced an Iowa ID, and that raised questions as where she produced the ID from if she was naked. I'm thinking maybe they brought her back to her room.
And she had
She produced the ID before she was trespassed. I don't know. So all kinds of stuff going on there. But it was an amusing enough story. I thought it was probably worth mentioning. So there you go. That's happening. I would imagine that they'll be stepping up some security precautions surrounding that room. All right. Moving on to some things that will have a more profound effect on the Las Vegas tourism experience. New stuff, old stuff, what's happening. Let's start at Caesar's Palace. They are getting a new bar. Part of the food court space near the Forum Shops is going to be converted into a new sports bar called Stadia Bar. It is, I think they're trying to do a little bit of what they've done at the Link in the sports book, because they're going to have sort of not isolated, but segregated spaces for groups to rent to watch games. So that's going to be part of the shtick. They made them look like, they have like football helmet covers on them, the whole sports thing. I think they're trying to do a little bit too much with this space, though, because they're really focusing on hard-to-find liquor, and they're going to have their own signature whiskey blends. So it seems like, I don't know how well that blends with the sports book thing.
Because generally, I think sports book, all right, get like a bucket of Coronas or something.
So having high-end, hard-to-find liquors seems like a little bit of an odd fit. Like, they had two ideas and decided, let's just do them both in the same space. Whereas the high-end, hard-to-find liquor thing would seem to me to make more sense in, like, Vista. They're, you know, the place that used to be Shadow Bar.
Yeah.
It's a cocktail lounge. You would expect to find it there rather than a sports bar.
Are they hoping to draw people when there aren't sporting events?
Oh, so maybe going for, like, a two-pronged approach?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the theory.
Yeah.
That could be. I don't know.
I would like to sip your finest scotch underneath this football helmet.
While watching the Knicks lose. Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to refine my palate by watching the contest between the Kansas City football team and the Tampa Bay football team.
And they also have, and they're going to have food available, said ordering by mobile app. I'm guessing maybe it's just the food court stuff. I don't know. They weren't specific in terms of having their own menu or what exactly.
What's even open in the food court right now?
Right now, nothing, but, you know, long term.
Yeah.
This new bar is supposed to open in the spring sometime. Because these announcements are always filled with very amusing descriptions and stuff, I did pull a chunk from the press release, because I always love a little hyperbole. This sports hub will feature the excitement, drama, and grandeur of being seated in a live sports arena. I bet it won't.
Not so much.
I bet it won't. I bet it'll be just like being seated in a sports bar. Guests can choose to rise above the frenzy. There will be no frenzy. The place seems very subdued. The way that, like, the design and the isolated mm-hmm. booths and stuff, it doesn't seem like it's going to be like a, you know, say what you will for like a Buffalo Wild Wings, mm-hmm. but you're going to have people cheering for a game watching there.
Yeah.
This place, it doesn't have that feel to it. Who knows, though? Anyway, they will rise above the frenzy and sit at the elevated bar or reserve one of five VIP leather-wrapped domes exclusively designed for Stadia Bar. I like my domes leather-wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
Each dome creates the feeling of sitting within a vintage leather football helmet. And who doesn't like that feeling? We all know that feeling of sitting inside of a vintage leather helmet.
Is sweat included?
Who can identify with that? And gives guests an intimate viewing area with their own LED screen. Guests will also notice sports-inspired design details such as net-like chandeliers, sconces that look like deconstructed baseballs, and glove-like leather banquettes.
Really?
I mean, I appreciate the theming, but...
Yeah.
You know, the fact they're trying to, like, incorporate sports stuff into a sports bar makes sense, but... Yeah, okay.
Anytime someone uses deconstructed, I get a little...
Anytime they're promoting the sconces, you know, there's not a lot going on there. Guys, we got to go to that sports bar and check out those fucking sconces. The halftime sconce show. All right. So anyway, that's coming this spring to Caesar's Palace. Maybe we'll go there sometime. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I can wait for you there next time you decide to go shopping at the Forum Shops.
Sure.
Yeah. Camp out in one of those...
out in a leather helmet.
A leather banquette or a leather helmet. You have your choice of leather sports-inspired decor.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Speaking of decor, there are some room renovations coming up at a couple luxury properties on the Strip. We got a barrage of information this week, thanks not only to an official announcement from Bellagio, but also a scoop from our friend Mike E. with VegasSnob.com. Got to give a plug to his,
mm-hmm.
his fine, underused website. I always am happy. You know what? The thing about Mike E.'s Vegas Snob?
Yeah.
It's not about quantity, because he doesn't put that much on there.
But it's quality.
Quality. Every time I know that he is going to post something, it's going to be entertaining and informative. As was this, he posted some shots of Wynn Las Vegas's planned room renovation designs. This comes from apparently in the Wynn, whatever the Wynn shop is where they sell all their bedding and stuff. On the screens, they have been displaying what the new rooms are going to look like. And he posted these, and a lot of people had a lot of thoughts, most of it mm-hmm. negative, including my own.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it, I thought, that is horrendous, especially for a high-end property.
It's very busy.
Very busy. And, like, I'm not a... I don't have a fine eye for design, but I can look at something... I can look at a hotel room and know whether or not it's going to make me feel relaxed and comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And that was not it.
This one was not it. It looked like they just had too much stuff. It was very, very busy. Four-poster bed, which is a bad choice.
For many reasons.
Yeah, you're going to get injured on that fucker.
Somebody's going to get up in the middle of the night and bonk themselves trying to get back into bed, or someone's going to get a little too drunk and decide to use it as a substitute stripper pole.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that factor. Yeah, that has trouble written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I mentioned this on the chat last night, the thing that I noticed is it looked like they were trying to cover far too much of the wall space with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seemed like it was just so cluttered. There was like a giant artwork on one wall and then giant artwork on another wall, which is fine. But then the space in between, let's just put mirrors up. It was odd. It mm-hmm. doesn't look good. You can visit VegasSnob.com to see what it looks like if you haven't already checked it out. I'm not a fan. It doesn't fit Wynn.
It doesn't feel like luxury. Yeah. It just feels, I don't know.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel cohesive. It's like,
yeah.
Now,
because they've paid such careful attention to design in that property.
Right.
And this is not a Roger Thomas.
No, he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still around, I think, but he's not. Yeah, he's mainly retired. So this is the new guy. Well, not really the new guy, the guy that replaced him, but he's been there for a long time, too. Bellagio, on the other hand, they put out an official announcement a few days later with mm-hmm. renderings or with photos of what their rooms are going to look like. I think those look really nice.
Yeah, I do too. I like the colors. They're very soothing.
Yeah, soothing, calming.
Like, it's supposed to reflect the fountains, I think.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Again,
we chose blue.
Hyperbole.
It looks like water.
I thought the carpeting was a little busy.
A little
cluttered, but overall, I thought the room like that, I could see myself being comfortable in that room.
Mm-hmm.
It was relaxing, and like the furniture had rounded edges and just looked like
Edges are important.
I don't know. It had a flow to it. So I guess maybe the fountains. Maybe as that's one part who's of that.
Gotten up too often in the middle of the night and run into some furniture.
Yeah, yeah. They should pad all of the edges of all the furniture in every Vegas hotel room.
Yes.
At least between the bathroom and the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Again, you know, some of the actual design elements in these rooms may change by the time they actually develop them all. And things look different in person than they do in photos, of course. So maybe, like, mm-hmm. wind might not be as bad once you get there, but...
Let's it's hope not they do appealing. Some editing.
It doesn't, if I were to choose between these rooms, as much as I actually like the Wynn experience more than the Bellagio experience overall, I'd rather stay in one of the Bellagio rooms mm-hmm. with the new design. So, yeah, anyway, time will tell how those things play out, but you can find the Bellagio stuff anywhere. Just search Bellagio room renovation and Vegas Snob for the Wynn stuff. All right, some news at New York, New York. A few weeks back, we discussed that they were having some trouble with their roller coaster. They had replaced the train cars with a new type of train car, and it had caused damage during testing, and the track looked all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it might be a while before they'd be reopening. And in fact, it was weird. I saw a couple of reports that said showed they had posted some signs that said they had delayed the opening until March, and then like 2 days later they opened. So they were able to get it all figured out, and January 29th they reopened the roller coaster. So if you're excited about the bumpiest roller coaster in the history of the land, New York, New York is now available again. Presumably they figured out what the problem was and got that patched up too.
Otherwise we'll be talking about this next week.
Oh, let's hope not.
I know.
Yeah. Rates apparently for the roller coaster have increased. I guess they were $17. Now they're $19. If you want to ride that roller coaster unlimited all day, you can do so for $35.
Did they throw a chiropractor visit in at the end?
Oh, my goodness. I can't. I mean, once is enough on that. Like, once in a lifetime is enough on that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ride? Have you ridden
that
twice?
I've ridden it twice.
Okay.
I rode it on our wedding day.
And that was, that prepared you for your life with me?
It did.
Fantastic. After riding that bumpy fucking roller coaster, anything would seem like a better life option. That's a smart move.
The rest of the day was smooth.
That's great. Yeah. All right. Well, across the street from New York, New York at MGM Grand, one of their attractions has closed. It's been around for a few years. The CSI The Experience, one of those interactive things where you can go in and pretend to solve crime, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an escape room without the horror. That has closed. I don't know if all their they've had multiple locations. I think it might have ceased to exist because their website looked really. First of all, their website looks like it's from like 1998.
Oh,
but
GeoCities.
Yeah, but a lot of there's not much on it right now, and I couldn't find anything about other locations. So I think the Mall of America location sadly has closed too.
Oh,
did you even know they had one there?
I did not, or if I did, I forgot.
I may have mentioned it at one point. When
I know you love hanging out at the Mall of America whenever you can.
I think last time I was there, which was probably a couple of years ago, there were signs up promoting that it was opening, so it didn't last long. But yes, so there you go. The Hunger Games experience at MGM is still up and running, though, so you can do that instead, if that's a reasonable replacement for you. I mean, CSI, are there any CSIs still on the air?
I have no idea, because there were like 15 of them at one point.
They had the original Las Vegas one, which was pretty good for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, they decided to branch out into every other city, and I have no idea if that's even on anymore. I don't watch a lot of the CBS dramas.
No.
Except for Bones. Is Bones still? I've never watched Bones. Is Bones still a thing? I don't know.
CBS
is the old people network.
Why don't you look up Bones in the old Google?
I'm not Googling Bones. I've got
you already searched scat patterns.
After searching for scat photos this week. Again, if you were on the chat last night, you would have heard all about that. Moving along. There's a new attraction, a new immersive experience.
Oh boy.
At Venetian. It is called Museum of Dream Art. This is like Happy Place, that thing that we did at Mandalay Bay a couple years ago. Where essentially you're paying money to go in and have your picture or take your picture in different scenes and posting them on Instagram to make you look like you have an interesting life when in fact you're just as boring as the rest of the fucking world. That's what this place is, except without as many physical props. Instead, they depend on digital art. So you have all these different scenes that are very funky and cool, and it's based on lighting and shit like that. Yeah, it's entirely for Instagram. Tickets are $48 for this. I don't know what we paid for Happy Place. It wasn't that much.
No.
I don't think. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know.
$48 seems high. They have a couple other locations in Southern California, which seems appropriate. The opening clip this week was from that movie that I've been talking obsessively about called Fake Famous on HBO Max. And it's about the influencer culture and becoming famous by doing nothing except for posting pictures of yourself and what a scam a lot of it is. The whole influencer thing is bullshit. A lot of it is buying followers and buying likes and making yourself famous and then getting free stuff for it. This is perfect for that. And that's why, like, Southern California, LA is the hub for that. Mm-hmm. There's some fucking building that's painted pink that people fly from all over to have their picture taken. It's just a blank pink wall on the outside of a store, and apparently it's a thing.
Huh.
It's like a big deal to post yourself, a picture of yourself in front of this fucking wall. I don't understand anything anymore. I'm so fucking old. I just want to die now.
Please don't.
I don't really want to die now, but...
Do you want to become a hermit and...
I don't want to live amidst these people who are going to pay money to fly to have their picture taken in front of a fucking pink wall. You can take your picture in front of any plain wall and change the color to pink in Photoshop for free.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tag it as if you were there and nobody would know the difference. And I'm sure people are doing that because that's the kind of bullshit these influencers do to make themselves look important. Now I'm getting all fired up again.
Uh-oh. Do you need to pet jacket that I was wearing?
I'm fine.
Sounds horrible now that I say that out loud.
Museum of Dream Art is located in the Grand Canal Shops if you're interested in visiting. And if you do, please provide a report. Like, you know, we shit on Happy Place and then we went and had a good time there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might, I'm not, with the pandemic closing stuff temporarily, it's hard to say what's open, what's closed permanently and what's closed temporarily. Last time I checked, I could not find any information on Happy Place existing still, except for some sort of drive-through thing they have in, I think, probably Southern California. But the Mandalay shop may be closed.
Hmm.
And again, I don't know if it'll come back or not, but. Yeah, there you go. In case you're dying to Instagram yourself once the pandemic is gone. You wouldn't want to do that during this because there's all kinds of stuff that I can't imagine they're able to keep that clean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they clean it, but yeah, anyway, it's closed now, so fuck it. Okay, moving along. Also at Venetian, there's a new restaurant coming. It's replacing a previous restaurant, which was only around for, like, I think under 2 years, called 6th and Mill. It was a pizzeria. Is being replaced by a new Italian restaurant called Brera Osteria, or something similar to that, that somebody who's able to not butcher any word that's not English would be able to say much better than me. I looked at the menu because with Italian restaurants, there are always a couple different directions they could go.
Mm-hmm.
The menu on this seems to be skewing more Mediterranean and less red sauce. Although they do have pastas, it's like pastas and risottos, and they do have pizza, but there's a lot of seafood and chicken and stuff like that too. So, I don't know. The menu looked decent.
Mm-hmm. Mediterranean's delicious.
It is. So, that is going to be opening sometime in the next few weeks if you're looking for a new Italian place at Venetian. Now, we also, speaking of Venetian, and we normally don't talk about, like, weekend limited engagements of bands playing in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We either, you know, maybe one-off events, but more so we like to talk about residencies. And the reason we choose to do that is just based on how many people are going to have a chance to enjoy it or check it out or whatever. If it's just a weekend performance, not the act the weekend, although he just announced the Las Vegas show in 2022 as part of his upcoming tour. If it's just a one-off or a couple shows, then there's such a limited number of people listening who are actually going to be into that, and there's so many of them, rather just focus on the long-term residencies. People are going to be there longer. But because things are all fucked up right now, we're making an exception just to note that stuff is being booked again.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, which has played in Vegas forever on and off over the years for, you know, one-off shows and weekend gigs and stuff. They're going to be doing a weekend in September at Venetian. So noteworthy because it's so rare to get announcements about new shows, even if they are just single concerts, unless they're being rescheduled from before. So hooray for things being scheduled at a time where it seems plausible that it might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
On the other hand, Garth Brooks finally postponed his Allegiant Stadium show, which had previously been already delayed. This was supposed to be, and I guess it still would be, the inaugural event at the stadium with an audience, because they played football there, but without an audience, without a crowd. Originally, this was planned for August of 2020. Of course, that did not happen, and it was moved to February 20-something later this month. That has now finally been postponed, although this one is a little shaky in my mind. They postponed it to July 10th. I don't know that we're going to be ready for a stadium full of people yet by July.
Right.
I would be surprised. So my guess is that around June 10th, we'll be seeing another announcement saying that they're pushing it off until later
fall
on.
Or,
and it won't be like the first thing because, you know, maybe they'll have football there for, I don't know. Anyway, I'm guessing it'll be postponed again, but who knows? That might be happening. Another postponement, the Sting residency at Caesar's Palace has been delayed from starting in May. I think that was already delayed once as well, but they're pushing back the dates to delay the opening from May until October. October, again, seems like it might be more plausible. If you are a Sting fan and want to hear all of his hits, you can do so at the Coliseum beginning in October. We've discussed that enough.
Yes.
Right. There has not... So one of the few resorts or casinos or hotels that has not yet reopened as part of the whole reopening of Las Vegas after the pandemic, or not really after the pandemic, but after the pandemic shutdown, let's say, is Main Street Station, downtown just off Fremont Street. They still have not yet announced a reopening date, although in a conference call last year, they did say it would be reopening sometime in 2021. That's rather vague. I checked out their website to see if there had been any updated information, and I don't know how long this has been going on, but they are accepting reservations now beginning April 1st, which would put the shutdown at more than a year because it shut down in March.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's some hope that that might be coming back soon, and I know that there are people who are anxious for that because a lot of people like that casino.
It's a nice property.
Yep, I like playing there. It's a cool room. Of course, that could change. It hasn't been officially announced, but right now it seems obvious that that is what they're looking at, and hopefully that will occur so that people there can get back to work and people who want to visit are able to visit beginning in April.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's officially announced, we will certainly mention it again, but that's how things are shaping up right now.
Do you think they'll bring back the little cards for when you hit a four of a kind, or do you think that's a thing of the past?
I can't see why they wouldn't bring that back. I would hope so. That's a fun little added thing, even though, you know, you're maybe going to win $2 most of the time, if anything. Do all of them win something? Is that the deal? I don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't have very good luck with it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, yes, Main Street Station School. Okay, a couple other quick news items. The system of escape tunnels, I presume, that Elon Musk wants to build in Las Vegas has taken another step forward. They are pursuing a station at Circus Circus, in addition to those that are planned for Encore and Resorts World. The whole thing centers right now around the convention center, and that tunnel system at the convention center, I believe, is pretty much done. It hasn't opened because there's nothing going on there, but now they're looking at branching out to several different properties and places in Las Vegas. Downtown, we've discussed, there's a plan to run a line downtown. If you're not familiar with this, essentially it's an underground road for electric cars, and it's supposed to solve all the world's problems. They've already scaled back what they're saying the capacity will be, and I don't know. The more that I read about this, the more I think it's going to be another monorail.
Someone in the chat last night was wondering about when it rains, what's going to happen. Are they going to have flood protection in there?
I know. I would imagine they're going to have to have some significant drainage I don't know. I don't know how the fuck they're going to handle that. I assume that they've accounted for that.
I would hope so.
I know that there are issues with having to have a large number of emergency exits, like ladders, and like they're going to have to be able to get people out in case there was a fire in there. There's not much that would burn, I wouldn't think. But so, yes, there are certainly safety precautions.
It makes me a little claustrophobic thinking about it, to be honest.
I don't know. I'm just... It's a limited, it's a road in a tunnel, limited capacity. I don't know that that's the best way to go for trying to deal with transportation issues. I don't know. Maybe it'll be super efficient and it'll work, but we will see. For the convention center, I think maybe it makes sense because it's such a confined, limited amount of space. But if you're talking about expanding this to the whole city, I like the idea of having something that is effective and efficient that moves people all over the city. I'm just not sure that this is it. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, but I don't know. Building another road and having it be underground where it's a limited, you know,
limited capacity.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems. We shall see. Time will tell because it seems like this is happening. But if you want to run from the convention center to Circus Circus, sounds like you might be in luck if they end up being able to move these plans ahead. And hooray for everybody who wants to stay super cheap at a substandard hotel during their convention at the convention center. I won't see you there, man. All right. Finally, Plaza has announced and opened a new slot space in its casino branded for vlogger and online influencer Brian Christopher. I don't know. I've mentioned many times slot videos are not for me, and vlogging is not a thing I'm interested in watching. I don't enjoy them for many reasons. Like,
but
I
a lot of people do.
A lot of people do, but I don't even enjoy, like, when I look at the YouTube and see the screen caps for any of those videos. They've got like the big, and there's a science behind this, behind getting people to click, just like there's on anything, but like the big splashy letters with the person making a wacky face and pointing at the headline. It's all, ugh.
I don't know. That is a road I have not traveled.
I'll show you some. You'll be annoyed. Like everybody who does one of those videos looks punchable because they're making such a stupid fucking face while, oh, look at me. I'm pointing at a headline. And a lot of them are clickbaity. Like, you'll never believe what, you know, it's stupid.
You'll never believe what happened here. Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of people like watching those videos, and I think Brian Christopher is probably the most well-known. He's the only one I'm aware of, although I know there are hundreds of them, people who post slot videos on YouTube. He has 330 YouTube subscribers, although we've already mentioned that those numbers don't really mean anything because who knows how many of them are real and how many of them are fake. Maybe all of them are real. I hope that they are for his sake. The section at Plaza is 16 slot machines that he enjoys and selected to be underneath a sign with his name on it. And if you're a fan of his, then you'll know where to find the games that he likes. So I guess that's, you know, I don't know. I guess I give credit to Plaza for doing something different in terms of partnering up with somebody who a lot of people who go to Las Vegas are familiar with and making it easy to find the games that he's highlighted. I hope he's getting paid well for it.
Yeah.
For his sake. So there you go.
Because he's not one of the people flying to California and taking a picture in front of the pink wall.
No, he's going to different casinos and taking his picture with slot machines. But he's playing them and people are enjoying watching him play. So there you go. I don't know. I give credit to somebody who started a business that does. Like, I think that's, I don't know. As far as I know, that's all he does. And he's making an ad revenue and sells merchandise and all that stuff. So kudos to him, I guess. Now, we, of course, are world-famous influencers right here on the podcast.
Yeah, we are.
I thought we would ponder, if we were to have our own branded casino floor space, what would be included?
Machines with butt rumbles.
Oh, okay. Well, what specific games do you think?
The ones that we've enjoyed, like...
Wonka? Old school Wonka?
Old school Wonka that actually pays out.
Yeah, those are played out, though. That's the thing. They don't seem to be as generous as they used to be with those bonus rounds.
Anchorman, I like.
Have I played that? I don't know if I have.
That had a good butt rumble.
Okay. You're a fan of the butt rumbles?
I am. The chairs that massage you as you're playing.
Any chair I sit in has butt rumble.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of those butt rumbles.
I know.
Old School Odyssey, bring back Buccaneer Gold.
Oh, okay. There you go. No, that's a different, some throwback machines. All the machines that I used to play over the years have played excessively and inevitably lost large amounts of money on. So the Odyssey machines, the Wild Cherry Bonus Pie machines.
Oh, yes.
The original Piggy Bank and machines.
Yes. Would Hey Congratulations be on there?
Oh, yeah, whatever those
they're like the Tower of Sevens where you get the bonus and it goes, usually
and you win a small amount, it'll go, hey, congratulations. And then of course we'd have some Skywheel.
Oh yeah.
And then the games that I would actually play frequently would be some decent video poker machines. Some Full Pay Deuces Wild.
Yeah.
And that would be our 500 section. If any casinos are interested, I have a very, very large fee for using my name and or likeness or the name of this podcast. So if you're
would your likeness be a picture of you pointing to a sign? A
fucking stupid ass punchable look on my face. Going, hey, here's our section. that's exactly what it would be. All right. So there you go. Hey, we got all caught up on our exciting news for the week. Let's do one of these.
I don't remember fucking anything, man.
I remembered to take out the Siegfried and Roy clip at the end of it that I had in last time.
I appreciate that.
I almost left that in by mistake. All right, we're going back to 2014, January of that year, show number 435. There was a little something at Bally's called Jubilee. It was a show that played there for over 30 years.
And also then, known as Boobilee or Tits Ahoy.
All fun names. During that show, 435, in January 2014, we discussed that it was going to be closing temporarily for a major revamp. They had brought in a famous choreographer named Frank Gatson Jr. to freshen up the show. He was known for working with Michael Jackson, Rihanna, Mariah Carey, and Beyonce. Specifically, they were boasting in the announcement that he was the one who came up with the single ladies hand dance.
Okay.
Which is really just jazz hands. And also the what they were referring to as the famous respect number with Aretha Franklin in Blues Brothers 2000. Not the original but the sequel that nobody watched and those who did preferred to forget. So he was known for those things. At the time we discussed this, we were a little bit nervous I don't know how nervous we were, but we were feeling like maybe this was going to be the show equivalent to what happened at Treasure Island with the pirate show becoming Sirens. They're trying to modernize it and make it more sexy, and then that inevitably killed it.
Stripped it of all its charm.
That is exactly what happened with Jubilee. We were correct in our assessment. The reviews were not kind when it reopened, and it ended up closing permanently after 34 years in February 2016. The loss of one of the last old school, big Las Vegas flashy production shows. Boo.
Rhinestones and boobs everywhere.
Yeah. So their attempt to freshen it up fucked up the whole show. Bad times. Let's not remember that anymore.
Okay. Let's remember old Jubilee, which we saw and enjoyed.
It was quite a spectacle. I'm glad we saw it when we did. All right. So there you go. We're going to get caught up. I keep saying this, but at some point we're going to get caught up on phone calls. We have a bunch of those. We've got some more Dear Tim and Michelle questions that have come in the last few weeks as well. Ooh. So if you'd like your Dear Tim and Michelle questions answered, we would love to include those if you send them to us at 500@gmail.com. And of course, if you would, I feel like I just was yelling there when I raised my voice. I'm not yelling. I'm not trying to be aggressive with you. If you choose to send us a question, please do so. And it will be received and considered for future show use with love, peace and love. And if you'd like to call the show, you can do so at 702-866-9494. We love getting your calls. All right, before we get out of here, we've got a couple karma donations to thank folks for. We got a karma donation from Michael. There was no note on that one, so I don't know the specifics, but best of luck and thank you for your support. And we got one from Sasha. Sasha said it is because the karma donation last time worked so well, had to do it again. They're in Las Vegas for the big game that is happening today. And Sasha said she loves what we do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Very kind of you. Sasha will have some pins waiting for her when she gets home if they did not arrive before leaving for the trip, because I remember sending her stuff. Anyway, thank you for your support of the show. We do appreciate it. And there we go. That's going to do it for this week. 500bymidnight.com is the website. As I mentioned, you can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions to 500@gmail.com. You can send your hate mail to hunter@raidvegas.com. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And again, that voicemail line is 702-866-9494. Give us a call. We would love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, calling, joining us in the chat, and other assorted things. We appreciate it. We will be back soon with another show. Until then, enjoy the big game and have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.